back to the Tackle Podcast for this episode. It's me and George, and we're also joined by Joey. We will be going over current sports updates, March Madness. We're currently in the Sweet 16, just finished up the round of 32. We'll be talking about those games. We'll be talking about NFL free agency signings. So let's just get started with a little bit of March Madness. George, what were your takeaways from the first weekend of college basketball?
The favorites showed, to be honest, and the real great players in this season of college basketball showed. A lot of teams, a lot of like number one seeds, number two seeds, they had a game on their hands. They had a lot of struggle. Like, look at Gonzaga, they almost lost. Duke, they almost lost. Auburn did lose. Kansas, I mean, there's a lot of tough games and tough matchups throughout the last 32. And one of the biggest takeaways for me is Gonzaga, how they fought through adversity. They have so many different ways to win, and they're so lethal. I feel like they could lose to Duke if the bracket turns out that way, but they could easily win the national championship.
Yeah, I think Gonzaga just got away beating Memphis. Yeah, sure they won, but I think Chet Holmgren's NBA draft stock still took a hit because he was getting bodied by Jalen Duren that game, and he really didn't do much at all offensively. But they'll go on to play Arkansas in the Sweet 16 matchup, Arkansas coming off a win against New Mexico State.
To add on about what you were saying about Chet, to be honest with you, I don't think his stock is going to fall at all because his flaws that people had already been talking about, which is his lack of strength, that's just what showed. You know, nothing new happened. Because like, if you think about last year with Evan Mobley, he had the same critique about lack of strength.
No.
Look where he's at now.
This isn't even close, though.
I personally don't think Chet is number one for like mock drafts and all that. I think it's Jabari Smith, personally.
Jabari Smith.
We'll get to Auburn.
Same guy who choked.
We'll get there.
I can't wait till that comes.
So something about Arkansas real quick. I'm a big fan of their point guard, J.D. Notte. He dropped 18 points in their low-scoring win over New Mexico State, 53-48.
Which is the only SEC team left.
ACC all the way, by the way.
So next we got Texas Tech playing Duke. I think this will be the best game of the Sweet 16 round. Duke coming off a close win against Michigan State, while Texas Tech is coming off a close win as well against Notre Dame. George, who do you see winning this one?
I think Duke. I think they're going to be more efficient and more accurate from all around the court. I think Texas Tech, they're a very fast-paced Houston Rockets-style team where they shoot a lot of threes, they shoot a lot, and if they miss, they can go cold. Their defense will always be good. They're going to give you turnovers, but on the offensive end, can they really generate points? That's the thing that's going to deter this game, and I think Duke's going to do that.
Yeah, I think just the fact that Duke was able to score 85 points against a Michigan State team is usually known as one of the best defenses in the Big Ten, if not the whole nation. We see tons of guys able to score on that team. Banchero had 19, Mark Williams had 15, Roach had 15 with that clutch three at the end. Wendell Moore, he had 15 as well. So they had four guys right there who just scored 15 or more points. I don't think Texas Tech will be able to go up against that. Joey, do you have any thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, Chris, I think their ceiling is champions. Duke is a really, really good team. They're loaded, but they're a very young team. In the past, young teams struggled with tournament, specifically Duke. But they just have so many options, like you said. Like, they have six guys who could pretty much start at any other team in the nation because they've even been having Trevor Keels come off the bench. AJ Griffin just got hurt. We don't know the severity of that injury to the state, but yeah, I think Duke is just super strong. I can see them making a run past Gonzaga and into the national championship. Mm-hmm.
And that's interesting because as we move into the East region, we see a potential Duke-UNC Final Four matchup if it happens to play out that way. But let's focus on this Sweet 16 matchup between North Carolina and UCLA. This is one that I personally predicted, and I think it'll be a really, really good game because UCLA is coming off a Final Four run, while UNC is arguably the hottest team in the nation right now. They're being led by Brady Manick, who scored 26 points against Baylor before being ejected for throwing an elbow. That was unfortunate. USC almost blew a 25-point lead after following the ejection to Baylor, but they were able to pull away with the win in overtime.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but Brady Manick would be ineligible to play against UCLA due to his flagrant 2 foul.
I'm not sure how that'll work. Maybe he has to set the first half, but I'm not exactly sure. And also, I think Armando Baquet on North Carolina is one of the best rim protectors and rebounders in the game. You can see his impact on the game against Baylor. They struggled to get any shots off in the paint. And RJ Davis dropping 30 points. I think we can see another performance similar to that against UCLA.
Ryan, I know you and I were watching the game together.
Yeah.
George, this is a discussion for you too, but do you think that the Baylor-UNC game was the best game of the round of 32?
It's tough to say. There are a lot of good games.
I would say Duke because...
You say Duke, MSU?
Yeah. Just because the storyline of that. You have Coach K versus a team he always has a tough time going against in Michigan State. And just the storyline of that game was more impactful than UNC versus Baylor.
I also thought with you there. I think the Gonzaga Memphis game was up there with it. The Arizona TCU game was definitely up there with it. And the Michigan Tennessee game was in that category as well. But I still think that Baylor North Carolina, just that second half, top any other game I watched in that round. Just
the thing that I just liked about it the most is every single play in the second half and overtime, you see a body on the floor. Specifically, can't think of the name off the top of my head. Sochin, Jeremy Sochin, he's coming off the bench for Baylor. He's got the funky hair. He's supposed to be a late lottery, mid first round pick. He's an 18-year-old international player who's playing for Baylor. He brings a lot of energy. As you can see, he got into the heads of a lot of UNC players, which ultimately led to the ejection of Brady Manick. You can see other UNC players were just straight up frustrated with him due to his high motor and energy. He was all over the place, making winning plays, diving for 50-50 balls. Ultimately, it wasn't enough.
I don't think UCLA has that kind of player on their team.
Yeah.
But I think they're built kind of similar to Duke, because if we look at their game, their win against St. Mary's, they had four players score 14 or more points.
That's St. Mary's, though.
Okay, they're still a really good team that was playing in a solidified conference against
Gonzaga.
Exactly. We saw Bernard score 14, Tiger Campbell 16, Juzang 14, Jaime Jaquez 15. We all know what Johnny Juzang is capable of. We all saw him ball out last season. But a big storyline is on Jaime Jaquez, who rolled his ankle, and his status for this game will be questionable. Now, moving on to the Purdue-St. Peter's Peacocks game. I think everyone is rooting for St. Peter's.
If Purdue doesn't win this game.
I think Purdue should. This is obviously a game that Purdue should win, but I think everyone will be rooting for St. Peter's.
I think Purdue should be able to dominate. I mean, come on. You saw Trey Guy Williams. He looked like the most dominant scoring big in the whole nation.
Yeah.
He got 20 points efficiently. And not to mention that now that's in the tournament, Purdue leads those 16 teams in three-point shooting, which is going to become a factor.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows about Jaden Ivey.
Yeah, I love St. Peter's, but no one on that team is guarding Jaden Ivey.
Or Trayvon Williams.
And then you have Eddie.
Or big enough to guard Zach Eddie.
Yeah, that.
7'4", and like what?
Yeah. They should honestly start both of them.
Now to go back up to the South region, we have Arizona coming off a close win in overtime against TCU. They'll be playing Houston, who broke away at the end, beating Illinois. George, who do you have winning this one?
I have Arizona, but they better be careful, because if Houston gets hot, they could easily walk away with this game and steal a win.
Yeah, I think Houston's one of those very fundamental, very well-coached teams who can go out and compete against anyone. But we saw what Benedict Mathurin did against TCU. Dropped 30 points, poster someone, hit a deep three to tie the game in regulation. I think
that was clutch.
I think Arizona will win this game.
I think Benedict Mathurin is that guy. I think Arizona should have won the game. I think the refs caused TCU the game. But just to focus on this game, Houston has only played one ranked team all year, and which they lost. I think it's going to hurt them.
And Christian Coloco on Arizona will be an X factor. He dominated the paint against TCU.
I have Arizona killing Houston this game.
Arizona killing, wow.
Right. Now, this is a very interesting matchup. Michigan finding their way to the Sweet 16, knocking a huge upset over Tennessee, who I know Joey is a big fan of, and Michigan, who Jason and our journalism team is a big fan of as well. They'll be playing Villanova, who just beat Ohio State. George, who do you like in this matchup?
I think Villanova comes away with this one on this one. Just controls the game, and I think Michigan is going to have a trouble scoring the basketball.
No, I couldn't disagree with you more, George.
Definitely think so.
Michigan beat Tennessee. If you can beat Tennessee, you can beat any team in the nation.
Tennessee played really bad.
Not to mention that Michigan has arguably the best scoring big in the nation in Hunter Dickinson. He's just special.
Best scoring
big. Villanova doesn't have a big that can contain him. Villanova is known as a small team.
Led by
Michigan straight up having trouble with Hunter Dickinson.
Conner Gillespie dropped 20 in their win against Ohio State. But I think I'm going to have to agree with Joey. This is definitely going to be a close game. I like Michigan's odds, but I still have to say Villanova is going to win this game, but would not be surprised to see Michigan win. Next, finish it up with the Midwest region, Kansas playing Providence. I think Kansas should blow them out.
I honestly don't even know
how Providence made this but
it should
Kansas
be a dominant
is going to prove why they belong to be Final Four team and the number one seed.
And why Ochai Agbaji is arguably the best player in the nation. That kind of special.
Next. Oh, I like the matchup of two double-digit seeds.
Yes,
Iowa State and Miami.
Yes, sir.
Iowa State upsetting Wisconsin and Miami upsetting Auburn. Both big upsets, but I think I know who George is going to pick in this one.
I had to. I told y'all we were going to be here. Told y'all we were going to be sitting here, right, talking about Miami in the Sweet 16. And I think what we did against Auburn was just dominance. Forced 13 turnovers, we only had 4. I mean, we just controlled the game the entire way. The entire game was just our pace, our tempo. And our point guard, Charlie Moore, he's one of the best guards in college right now. Played like Chris Paul out there, just controlling the tempo. Speeding it up, slowing it down, dishing to his guys, had a great game. Then Isaiah Wong is just a bucket. That post. And then we clamped him up the whole game. He didn't really do anything.
For Iowa State, I'm a big fan of point guard Tyrese Hunter. He struggled in the second round a little bit. But
against,
to highlight the first round, he dropped 23 against LSU with a couple deep clutch threes. So him and what's the name of that Miami player that dunked on Jabari Smith?
Isaiah Wong.
Yeah, Isaiah Wong and Tyrese Hunter will be a very good matchup to look for in this one. Joey, what about you?
I'm going to have to go with the Iowa State Cyclones.
You're joking.
I think, if I remember correctly, Iowa State was a single-digit rank towards the beginning of the season.
Wow.
Towards the middle season of the season and end of the season. They couldn't really find that much offense. They were a little bit cold, but now they're beating back up.
To wrap things up for this March Madness part, if you were to pick one winner right now, who would you pick, knowing what you know?
I would say Kansas. They've been the most dominant team and most consistent team to me, and they have the easiest path.
Joey?
I got Gonzaga in Hungary and Utah. They showed that they can come back from Memphis. I think it can beat any team in the nation.
For me, I'll take Arizona.
Mm.
I picked them when originally, I'll pick them now. Now we can transition to our NFL free agency segment. We've seen a lot of signings since the free agency period opened. What are some of your favorite signings so far?
For me, it has to be Davante Adams to the Raiders. I mean, it was a lot of money, yes, but at the same time, you get Derek Carr, a guy that he likes, one of the best receivers in the NFL, and you get him just for 2 picks and a lot of money. And you revamp the offense, make the Raiders good again. They also got Chandler Jones, bring in a great defensive player to pair with the other pass rusher they have, Max Crosby. So the Raiders' offense is one to look out for. They also have Josh Jacobs, Darren Waller, Derek Carr. They have a good offensive line. Hopefully they can do some damage in a loaded loaded AFC.
Yeah, just to run through a couple of teams. So the Falcons, they traded away Matt Ryan to the Colts, but they went on to sign Marcus Mariota, give him a shot to start. I really like that. I think he deserves a chance to start.
The Colts, though, they've had a new quarterback every year since 2015.
Well, Matt Ryan could change that.
That is terrible. For what, 2 more years? I think the Colts took the wrong decision here. I feel like they sort of tried to trade up in the draft.
They still can draft a quarterback.
But George, the Colts are a win-now team. Why not go get a win-now quarterback?
Yeah,
Matt Ryan.
But Matt Ryan isn't
been
that
in the
good.
Biggest team.
It was top five, top 10 defense.
He's won MVP because of Julio Jones and the offense they had. I mean, he's not one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He's maybe a better version of Philip Rivers, but still, he's not one of the best in the league.
The Falcons also locked up Younghoe to a 5-year deal. Now, for the Ravens, as a Ravens fan myself, I'm a fan of what we were able to do by signing Marcus Williams, a top 3-5 safety in the NFL. He'll fill that need of a deep free safety. And we were able to bring back Michael Pierce, sign offensive tackle Morgan Moses, and bring back Patrick Ricard.
But our pass rush is looking terrible right now. I mean,
unfortunate what happened with Zadarius.
Yeah, it's all because of Chandler Jones. I mean, he wanted more money, and he's probably going to get more money. And then the kid we were going to draft, David Ajobe, got hurt.
David Ajobe from Michigan.
Yeah, and then we just don't have anybody or enough money to sign anybody. So our defense is getting on the lower. Hopefully we can get a chance to sign Bobby Wagner and improve that linebacking core. But there's not many moves we can make defensively.
And the Bills signed Von Miller to a 6-year deal.
The worst contract I've seen in my whole life.
Maybe not a good contract, but he'll certainly help improve their defense.
Will he, though?
Yeah. The Panthers stole Bradley Bozeman from the Ravens, signed him to a 1-year deal.
That deal did not make sense at all.
I'm surprised we couldn't match that. The Panthers signed a bunch of free agents, able to go out, get punter Johnny Hecker, safety Xavier Woods, cornerback, bring back Dante Jackson, signed Corey Littleton.
They got
Matt Ioannidis, defensive lineman from the Commanders. Now the Bears haven't done much, just signed a bunch of, they got Byron Pringle from the Chiefs. He was not really a high impact player though.
The Chargers, though.
How about the Bengals? I think the Bengals had one of the most underrated free agencies. I mean, it's not over yet, but they were able to bring back a lot of guys like Jesse Bates, Eli Apple, BJ.
Eli Apple is a guy.
But they were also able to bring in a lot of guys like Hayden Hurst, like Leo Collins, and Alex Kappa. That completely revamps their offensive line. That was their biggest weakness in the playoffs, and now they improved that already. And we're not even at the draft yet.
That is true. But the AFC is too loaded. I feel like the Bengals don't have a good enough defense to compete with the AFC still. I mean, look at the Chargers. Look at the Chiefs. Like, the Chargers just revamped their whole team. The only fault they had, the Chargers have a defense. Now you pair Khalil Mack with Joey Bosa. That's just dangerous.
How about the Browns, though? Deshaun Watson,
Why couldn't they just go to New Orleans?
They traded for Amari Cooper, signed Jakeem Grant. Their offense could be looking scary next season.
I think they can be actual Super Bowl contenders now. They have an actual quarterback instead of Baker Mayfield. Deshaun Watson's personally my favorite player in the NFL. And building them up with a great O-line, good running game, solid defense. They're Super Bowl contenders right away.
Cowboys had a pretty questionable offseason, letting a lot of guys go.
Yeah.
They're able to sign pretty underrated wide receiver James Washington, who wasn't able to see the field
much.
Went to
the Cowboys?
Pittsburgh. Yeah.
Wow.
They were able to bring back Leighton Vander Esch, lock up Michael Gallup for 5 years, franchise tag Dalton Schultz, signed Dante Fowler, brought back Malik Hooker and Jaron Curse.
I feel like they didn't do enough. They might have done enough to stay relevant in the NFC, but
I could definitely see them dropping out of like the playoff picture. Like, I could see the Eagles passing them in that division.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why you want to get rid of DeMarcus Lawrence or Amari Cooper, but I guess it frees up some cap space, but not a lot where you can make a significant move.
Randy Gregory, he signed with the Broncos.
Yeah.
The Broncos. How about Russell Wilson trading for him? New quarterback over there.
They're looking good, but not good enough where they can actually make noise in the AFC.
Yeah, I mean, they really haven't done a whole lot much other than bringing him in. They were able to sign the former Eagles linebacker, Alex Singleton. You know, like we said, they brought in Randy Gregory to a 5-year deal. But the weapons are there. They got Javonte Williams, Jerry Jeudy. They traded Noah Fant, but they could look to go tight end in the draft.
I mean, I don't really think they need anything more because I think they're just a quarterback away.
Yeah.
Need more than they need. Because Javonte Williams is right there with the elite running backs. I know Joy just heard me say that before, but Broncos is one of the best defenses in the league.
Definitely not.
They need everything they need to contend. Jerry Jeudy just needs a quarterback, which he has now. But I still think, this might be a hot take, but Russell Wilson is still the worst quarterback in his division. I think Derek Carr, are all better at this point of his career. All
right, I think Herbert and Mahomes are both better.
Herbert's questionable.
He's not better than Derek Carr.
Herbert's questionable.
You know, the Detroit Lions, they were able to, they didn't do a whole lot. They brought back just about all their free agents and were able to sign DJ Chark to a 1-year deal for him to prove himself.
Okay, let's go back to the Broncos. You think they have a Super Bowl chance?
I do.
They don't have one elite position group besides quarterback.
Running back, defense.
How is their running back?
Well, if they bring back Melvin Gordon.
If they bring back Melvin Gordon, but they probably won't. Their offensive line
isn't
that
good.
Yeah,
Melvin Gordon is a free agent.
Javonte Williams is not elite at all.
Oh,
at
yeah,
all.
He is.
He's not elite. He's not a top 10 running back. He's not a top 10 running back.
Yes, he is.
You think he's top 10?
I do.
Oh, my.
Name 10 running backs better.
Zeke.
Not Zeke. Javonte Williams is a better... He's a better running back than Ezekiel Elliott.
He's
the value for contract. Oh.
Oh, contract. You're talking about better overall, not
yeah,
contract.
Yeah, better overall, but also with value.
What? That doesn't
better
make any sense. Obviously, value, but Zeke is a better overall running back than Javonte Williams.
Nope.
The Packers, they didn't really go out and get anyone, and they let a lot of talent walk. They were able to bring back Devondre Campbell and Rasul Douglas, as well as Robert Tonyan. But come on now, that's not enough for Aaron Rodgers to go out and compete for a championship.
Yeah, I think it's crazy that they let Davante Adams go for just 2 picks. I mean, obviously he took less. He said he took less money to go to the Raiders, but still, you have to try better to get more out of that deal than what they got.
Houston Texans didn't really do much, just signed a bunch of mid-tier free agents.
Yeah, and the trade, they didn't get anything. At least
they got
to,
3 first-round draft picks and a couple of late-round picks.
But that's not anything to do significantly.
I just know that their draft class last season was really, really good. I know scouts have graded their class really well, and they just want the GM to get picks to work with to build a franchise.
I still would want a elite player now to build around to.
We mentioned the Colts with Matt Ryan. They were able to bring back Mo Cox. So they got Yannick Ngakoue through trade.
And there's still a lot of good free agents out there right now.
Oh, definitely.
Tyrese Armstead
if we look at...
He's one of the best offensive tackles in the league. He's still out there. He said he was waiting on the Deshaun Watson trade.
Yeah, we
and
got
now that's happened.
Dwayne Brown still available. Eric Fisher. Billy Turner. Those are some offensive tackles.
Tyron Matthew.
Now, if we look at more interior O-line, J.C. Treader, Matt Paradis, Darrell Williams, Trey Turner, Quinton Spain, all available still. Defensive tackle, we got Akeem Hicks, Calais Campbell, Linval Joseph, Sheldon Richardson, Ndamukong Suh still available. At the edge, Jadeveon Clowney, Za'Darius Smith, Melvin Ingram, Justin Houston.
I think the Rams need a push to get Jadeveon Clowney. Replace Von Miller with him, that would be a great duo.
Just to go through the last remaining positions, linebacker, Bobby Wagner, Alexander Johnson, Dante Hightower, Anthony Barr, the top guys available. Corner, Stephon Gilmore, Steven Nelson.
It's crazy how Stephon Gilmore
Bryce
is not
Callahan,
signed.
Robert Alford, and Patrick Peterson, Joe Hayden are still available. And this is a big one, safety, Tyrann Mathieu still available. Kareem Jackson, Terrell Edmonds, former Raven Deshaun Elliott, and Jabril Peppers still available.
And then wide receiver too. Yeah. You have Julio out there, Jarvis. I mean,
Will Fuller, T.Y. Hilton.
Yeah, if OBJ like rehabs, he's still a dangerous
receiver. Quarterbacks and running backs are pretty weak. You know, Andy Dalton, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Leonard Fournette just got signed today, brought back to the Buccaneers for a 3-year deal.
Yeah, there's a lot of help build your championship pieces right here. There's not a lot of, oh, this guy's going to for sure bring you a championship.
Melvin Gordon still sitting there looking for a team. Ronald Jones, Sonny Michel, Marlon Mack. And that tight end, it's really just Gronk. I mean, other guys like Jerry Cook, Eric Ebron, but Gronk is a big one at that position. Now we'll look at the Jaguars. Jaguars went out and signed a bunch of guys. Brought in Christian Kirk to a very questionable
4-year,
$72 million deal. They brought in Zay Jones from the Raiders. I remember him because he scored the game-winning touchdown against the Ravens week one in overtime. Brought in Evan Ingram, Brandon Scherff, former Falcons linebacker Foy Olukon, brought in Rams corner Darius Williams. I like their offseason. I think they did really good.
They definitely not. You can't sign Christian Kirk to that much money and do very good.
I mean, they were in a position where cap didn't really matter. They had so much money to spend that it's bringing
who still, you want. That's kind of ridiculous. And there's so many other talents still there. Like, if I'm the Rams, I make a move to get Jadeveon Clowney, maybe bring in Bobby Wagner. There's a lot of Bengals try to get Jadeveon Clowney or Bobby Wagner. Great defensive pieces out there to build your team up.
The Chiefs, they basically said goodbye to Tyrann Mathieu by bringing in former Texan Justin Reed to a 3-year deal.
It's a great signing,
they brought back Darren Naughty. Franchise tag Orlando Brown Jr. They brought in Juju to a 1-year deal. Thanks. Brought back fullback Michael Burton. Expect their team just their defense to get a little worse. You know, losing Tyrann Mathieu, a big part of their defense.
But you recover in a great safety in Jordan Reed, who's one of the best safeties. Justin Reed is one of the best safeties out there. And there's still moves to be made. It's like this free agency has so much left to give so far. Mm-hmm.
Not even just free agency, elite teams.
Yeah, the draft.
The Raiders, they went out, got Ravens corner Anthony Averett. They got corner from the Colts, Rocky Essen. They got Micah Kizer, linebacker from the Rams. They went out and signed Chandler Jones. I really like that a lot for them. I had to trade away Yannick Ngakoue, but still, Chandler Jones is a big upgrade from Yannick Ngakoue.
Yeah, but let's move on to the NBA a little bit, you know. Season's winding down to the end. Playoffs is coming around the corner. And who do you guys think is going to win the MVP this year?
Yeah, Giannis.
For me, for MVP, I'm going to have to go with Embiid. I'm just a big fan of this game. What he's been able to do with his team. A lot of question marks starting off the season with Ben Simmons. Been having to move on to James Harden. I just really like how the offense completely built around him.
Yeah, if the Sixers finish off the season strong, it definitely has to be Embiid. He's been the most dominant player in the league right now, besides LeBron.
Whoa. Most dominant?
Yeah, for sure.
Are we talking about the guy who needs another top 10 player to win games?
Yeah, because he's a big.
Are we talking about him?
Because he's a big. I mean, that's expected.
Giannis is a big.
No, he's not. Giannis is not a big. He's a forward.
And he won a ring without another top 25 player.
He won it with a top 30 player. So, equals out. And he have pieces. Joel Embiid, put Joel Embiid on the Bucks right now, he's winning a championship.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Who's on Embiid's team? No. Nobody.
James Harden is besides nobody.
Tyrese Maxey. I'll take
Tobias Harris. He's his fourth option.
I'll take Chris Middleton over all of those players because he's more consistent.
Over Harden?
No, besides Harden.
Chris Middleton is anything but consistent.
Chris Middleton in the playoffs is so consistent. And then you have Drew Holiday, who's a great point guard.
George, I don't think you watch the Bucks like I watch the Bucks.
Okay, buddy.
One game, Chris Middleton can look like a G leaguer. He's off the bench. Next game, he can look like prime MJ.
I take prime MJ over Tyrese Maxey.
Yeah, but the thing is, he gets prime energy. He wants a bomb.
Oh, get out of here. Joel Embiid is the dominant big in the NBA so far.
All right, well, that's all we got for this episode of the Tackle Podcast. Stay tuned for the next episode.